Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part three of Pastor Michael's teaching in Acts 27 called Riding Out the Storm.
Have you ever noticed that when you're in a storm, you start to focus on the things that are really important, like God and your family, and maybe even your faith and church family? You begin to jettison things that don't really matter, and maybe even cargo that's been weighing you down, and maybe even cargo that's part of the reason for the storm. Hebrews 12 says, "Let us cast off the sins that so easily entangle us, the weights that hold us down, that maybe we're not moving along in the water as good as we could." And sometimes the storm comes and the Lord says, "Do you need that?" And you say, "No, I've been holding on to that, and that's taken my focus off of you. It's taken my focus off of my loved ones. That's going." And you begin to simplify things in your life. And on the third day, verse 19, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. And since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small storm was assailing us, says Luke, which means a big one, from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. Everybody on the vessel, excluding maybe a few, including Paul, was losing hope. They were saying things like this: "It's over. There's no sun, there's no stars, there's no means of navigation. Game over, we're done. This weird sea god has taken us down," and up and down the waves they went, going up and down, barreling down. And you know, when the waters are not so smooth on a ship, I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I'm sure aboard a ship like this, things were not pretty. I'm sure people were losing their lunch, losing their faith. It was a very difficult moment. Everybody was abandoning hope. And when you lose hope, it's been said you lose everything. So when they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up in their midst and he said, "Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss." And you could just put in the Greek, it means, "I told you so. I told you." Isn't it wonderful when we can do that? Don't you just love moments when you can say to someone, "Didn't I?" We always like to do this with our kids too. "Didn't I tell you this was going to happen?" Right? And yes, right again. Now, Paul doesn't end with just exhortation. He says, and this is where we need to balance it. He says, "Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong, the one I'm anchored to and whom I serve, stood before me. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. The God to whom I'm anchored, the God whom I serve.'" He confirmed a word that he had personally said to me, Acts 23:11, "As you have testified for me in Jerusalem, you will testify in Rome." I'm going to Rome and nothing's going to stop it. I believe God. And he confirmed it to me. And the angel even said that he has granted you the passengers as well. All that are sailing with you, he has given to you. Verse 24. And that implies to us, brothers and sisters, that Paul was praying for everybody on the ship. I think you'll notice something about storms in your life. Storms tend to widen out your prayers. Have you ever looked back and you find yourself in a storm and maybe God's dealing with your heart and you start to look at your prayer life in the last 6 months and it's been focused on one thing or one person? Me, myself, and I. And then all of a sudden you go into some storm waters and God begins to teach you some things about faith. And you say, "You know what? There's another person I know firsthand, a friend of mine, a brother or sister in Christ, and they're going through a similar storm right now. Maybe, just maybe, I should pray for them. Maybe I need to widen out my prayer list. Maybe part of what God's trying to say in the storm is there's other people going through this too, and they may not have told you, but they're going through some depression, and they're going through some struggles. And maybe I've stirred up the water a little bit to get you to communicate with each other a little bit so you might pray for each other. Because there's an enemy on the prowl. And he wants to rip away your faith and rob you of the promises. And that's when you have to stand together. Amen? That's when you have to stand tall and even rise above the storm. And Paul says, I've gotten confirmation. And therefore, 25, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God. Some of you need to mark that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. I believe God's promises, that they will happen exactly as God has said. Some of you have people who are sick in your life. Some of you have just lost a loved one and you're wondering, is there a heaven? Is this stuff in the Bible really true? And Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. And Paul says, I believe that everything's going to turn out exactly as God has said. And of course, you can see the implication for us. Do we? Do I? Sometimes, you know, I'm in a storm and I wonder if I've ever read a Bible verse. I wonder why I don't go quickly to my knees or to my Bible. It's easy to mishandle storms. But Paul says these words not before a storm or after, looking back on a storm. He says these words right in the midst of the storm. It's easy to pontificate when we're not going through something. Let's all be honest. It's easy to make our commentaries and quote our verses. But Paul's saying this while the ship is going up and down and everybody around him has pretty much lost hope. And what if Paul wasn't on the ship? How would that have changed things? You know, sometimes it takes one person who's willing to stand upon their faith to change maybe a whole shipload of people, to change their view of life and what's really going on in God's promises. Paul Claudel said, Christ did not come to do away with suffering. He did not come to fully explain it. He came to fill it with his presence. But there's always a but. And here it is, verse 26. But we must run aground on a certain island. Paul says, we're going to be saved, but the ship, it ain't looking so good. But we're going to be saved. And when the 14th night had come and we were being driven about in the Adriatic Sea, this is a reference in Paul's day to the central Mediterranean. About midnight, the sailors began to surmise that they were approaching some land. They may have heard some waves hitting the beach. And they took soundings. This is using a weight attached to a length of rope to get the depth. And they found it to be about 20 fathoms or 120 feet. And a little farther on, they took another sounding and found it to be 15 fathoms or 90 feet deep. And fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. And the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and had let down the ship's boat into the sea on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow. Some of the people got together and said, hey, we'll pretend like we're putting a little rowboat down in the back of the ship. And that we're putting anchors down and we'll take the little rowboat and we'll get out of here. We'll get away from this stuff. We'll escape. But Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved. The Bible says, unless you are in the ark of Christ, you cannot be saved. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You must stay in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you're secure. I don't think you're going anywhere, but sometimes we do try to run and all of that. But Paul says, look, you got to stay in the boat. And so did they believe it? Well, the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat. That's an act of faith. And they let it fall away. And until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food. Very practical. He said, today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, having taken nothing, maybe a bit of a forced fast. Maybe people just couldn't stomach eating, or maybe they were fasting and crying out to different gods. And Paul said, therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation. Listen to Paul. For not a hair from the head of any of you shall perish. You know, Jesus said this to his apostles. He said, even if they persecute you and martyr you, not one hair on your head is going to perish. And some men in the second service who were a little shiny on top were, amen, amen, not one hair, because we believe we're going to get a new do with a resurrected body. So if you've been losing some hair, we're not point you out personally right now. But if you've been losing some, there's hope that hairdo's coming back, baby. It's going to be good. Anyway, and having said this, 35, Paul took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it, and he began to eat. Now, this almost sounds like communion, doesn't it? He took some bread and he broke it, but there's probably not a lot of Christians on the boat, maybe just Luke and Aristarchus, maybe a few others. But I don't think it's communion. I think he's just doing the common thing of breaking bread like the Jews would do and praying grace or a grace prayer before the meal. And he prayed it in front of everybody. Have you ever been tempted in life not to say grace when you're in the company of a bunch of pagan people?
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
We'd love to hear from you. If today's teaching on Walk in Truth encouraged you, challenged you, or raised a question, reach out and let us know. Send your comments, reactions, or questions to contact@walkintruth.com or give us a call at 844-48-TRUTH. Your story and feedback matter, and they help us continue equipping believers to apply God's truth to their daily walk. That's contact@walkintruth.com or 844-48-TRUTH. We look forward to hearing from you.
Your financial support helps keep Walk in Truth on the radio, and it also helps us reach people all over the world through the podcast. That means someone driving home from work, someone on a morning walk, or even someone on the other side of the globe can hear the hope of Jesus right when they need it most. And here's the cool part, every gift helps. Even a small step like becoming a monthly partner for just $5 a month makes a big impact. Think about it. For the price of less than one coffee, you could help keep Bible teaching going out day after day. So would you join us? Head over to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com and become a partner today. And thank you.
Did you miss part of today's message? You can always listen again on demand. Catch every teaching from Pastor Michael Lance on the Walk in Truth app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's an easy way to keep growing in God's Word and stay grounded in biblical truth throughout your week. Just search for Walk in Truth and start listening anytime.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
If you're in Christ, you're secure. I don't think you're going anywhere, but sometimes we do try to run and all of that. But Paul says, look, you got to stay in the boat. And so did they believe it? Well, the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat. That's an act of faith. And they let it fall away. And until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food. Very practical. He said, today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating. I've been taking nothing, maybe a bit of a forced fast. Maybe people just couldn't stomach eating, or maybe they were fasting and crying out to different gods. And Paul said, therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation. Listen to Paul. For not a hair from the head of any of you shall perish. You know, Jesus said this to his apostles. He said, even if they persecute you and martyr you, not one hair on your head is going to perish. And some men in the second service who were a little shiny on top were, amen, amen, not one hair, because we believe we're going to get a new do with a resurrected body. So if you've been losing some hair, we're not point you out personally right now. But if you've been losing some, there's hope that hairdo's coming back, baby. It's going to be good. Anyway, and having said this, 35, Paul took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it, and he began to eat. Now, this almost sounds like communion, doesn't it? He took some bread and he broke it, but there's probably not a lot of Christians on the boat, maybe just Luke and Aristarchus, maybe a few others. But I don't think it's communion. I think he's just doing the common thing of breaking bread like the Jews would do and praying grace or a grace prayer before the meal. And he prayed it in front of everybody. Have you ever been tempted in life not to say grace when you're in the company of a bunch of pagan people? Hardened sailors, soldiers, centurions. And Paul says, hey, before we eat this bread, we're going to pray. You think everybody was listening to Paul by now? I think so. You ever been there at a family meal? Some people are not Christians. They don't want prayer to happen. All right, Holy Joe, get it over with. Let's pray. That's when you give the little kid the opportunity to pray. Little Christian kid.
God, I thank you for our forks and our napkins and the sauce.
And they'll just go on for days. And it's wonderful. It's great. And so Paul broke the bread. And he said grace. You know, we sit over a lot of meals as Americans, don't we? And we could be real quick to break into that meal and not remember, you know what? We are very blessed people. Man, we better pause and give thanks to God. And all of them were encouraged. One man's faith changed the attitude of many. Faith and confidence are infectious. And they themselves also took food. Sometimes we can be amidst a bunch of Christians and everybody's down and everybody thinks that all hope is lost. Think of after Jesus died and the apostles. I mean, everybody was in a downer. And it was the women who came and said, no, he's alive. And they wouldn't believe. Sometimes we need to ask God, Lord, increase my faith for others as well. And they took food. And all of us in the ship were 276 persons. When they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing out the wheat into the sea so it could ride higher. They got rid of the food. And when day came, 39, they could not recognize the land, but they did observe a certain bay with a beach. And they resolved to drive the ship onto it if they could. Today, the traditional site is known as St. Paul's Bay in Malta. You can look it up on the internet and see where they think it is. And casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea while at the same time they were loosening the ropes of the rudders and hoisting the foresail to the wind, they were heading for the beach. But striking a reef where two seas met, they ran the vessel aground, and the prow or the ship's bow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern or the front began to be broken up by the force of the waves. 42. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, that none of them should swim away and escape, because if you lost a prisoner, you would suffer their sentence. But the centurion, wanting to bring Paul safely through, and here's God's providence and protection, kept them from their intention and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest should follow, some on planks and others on various things from the ship. And thus it happened that they all were brought safely to land. People were hugging different broken pieces of the ship. People were swimming for the shore. And everybody came safely into the harbor. And I'm sure they probably looked at Paul and said, can you tell me a little bit more about this God that you serve? This God that sends angelic visitors aboard ships that seem to be doomed. This God who has reiterated promises to you that you stand upon like you know they're real. Who is this God? And I'm sure Paul earned the right to be heard. And we'll see next week on the island of Malta, even the islanders are going to interact with Paul. And I wonder how many people came to Christ as a result of a storm and a shipwreck. You see, Paul was going to Rome. Turn back to the book of Hebrews. We'll go to Hebrews and 2 Timothy and we're done. Paul was going to Rome, but how he was going to Rome and the stops along the way was under God's providential hand. So we may be going somewhere. And we may be thinking, you know what, God, okay, you've made this clear to me, but how you get there and what stops come along the way are in God's providential hand. But what's God's intention if you get blown off course or something happens? I'm sure that he wants to redeem it for your good and for his glory. And so this is Hebrews 6. Look at verse 16. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. So this is what men do. They swear above themselves. Hebrews 6:17. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed it with an oath. He swore by himself, in order that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement. We who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. A few books back to 2 Timothy 4, and we're done. In the Christian catacombs, they have found many frescoes or paintings on the walls. This is where Christians were often waiting to die. And they found well over 60 paintings, not of crosses, but of anchors. The anchor was the ancient image of the church for hope, because they knew that even though they were facing their ultimate storm, Jesus Christ would be the anchor in the storm. And then eventually the anchor actually was combined with a cross. And the anchor means hope. He will steady us in the storm. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul writes in his final words that he ever wrote, verse 17, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, in order that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever." And all God's people said, amen. Father, thank you so much for Jesus Christ, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord of all. My hope enters within the veil where Jesus is. My hope is not an anchor. My hope is Christ. He is my anchor. He has finished the work, died on the cross, risen from the dead, and sits at the right hand of God, ever living to intercede. Amazing, amazing truth for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your stabilizing presence in our storms. We don't understand every angle of them, but we do know you can exploit them. And I pray that you would bless this precious congregation, those who are going through their personal storms right now, that you would strengthen them with your sweet presence, Lord. Father, I pray you'd protect this group from the enemy who would whisper doubt and fear into our ears. Help us to put on the full armor of God and stand against his schemes. If you're here and you don't know Christ, run to him. Run to that anchor. Because if you don't have him, you don't have stability. It's something like this. Jesus, pray it out loud if it's you. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. I repent of my sin and trust in you. Lord, maybe some are recommitting right now. I pray you'd bless them. And for all the people who are here, the precious ones, the beloved of God, may you strengthen them, Lord, in every way that they need it. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Riding Out the Storm, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. And that was the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Acts chapter 27. If you need prayer or encouragement, call us at 844-48-TRUTH. That's 844-48-TRUTH. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
If you're new to us, well, welcome aboard. We are so glad you're listening. We are so happy to be able to proclaim Bible truth on the airwaves and via podcasting. Many of you stand with us in giving and in prayer. And if you'd like to let us know how the program's been a blessing to you, we would love to hear. And one way you can do that is to reach out to us through the website. It's walkintruth.com. Just click on the contact form. Let us know where you listen, how long, maybe a little bit about you and what the program's meant to you. Walkintruth.com. Click on that contact form. It gives us an idea who we're reaching, and we want to know you. I'm in a studio speaking into a microphone right now. I can't see you, and I can't hear your voice. I know you're out there, but one way you can communicate back to us is to reach out. Walkintruth.com. Click on that contact form. We look forward to hearing from you. And if we can help you in any way, please add that to your correspondence. We'll see you tomorrow.
Remember, Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for part one of Refuge from the Storm.
His leadership and faith came from two things right out of the gate. He believed and stood upon the promises of God, and he knew that he had the presence of God. And that's what you and I have today. We have the promises of God to which we can be anchored, and we have the presence of God. And the promise of Hebrews 13 is to you and to me, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?
I'm Mike Massaro. Thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.